Us please come to order. Members, please indicate their presence. Madam Clerk.
24 members present.
We do have enough to conduct business today. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may the General reflect that Representative McGuire have previously been excused from the call of the House, and Representative Morgan, who had previously been excused, is here. And Representative Gruenberg, also, Mr. Speaker, who has previously been excused from the call of the House, is present today. And Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Hines be excused from the call of the House today until 2 p.m. plain time Monday, March 15th.
Without objection, Representative McGuire and Hines have been shown as excused from the call of the House, and those that were shown as excused that are not gone will be shown present, or something like that. Leading the invocation today is the Pastor Robert Sherwood of the Church of the Nazarene. Members, please rise for the invocation.
Thank you. Let us pray. Hear the words of the psalmist. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will know no fear. God give these men and women the marvelous triumph of grace to stand before an advancing army of adverse circumstances and not be afraid. The fact of the matter is we're very prone to be confounded by magnitude. We're distracted. We lose our balance. We see things out of their perspective, and in these matters of disproportion is death. We ought to be able to keep a quiet eye when armies bear down on us. We ought to fear nothing but God. This is a supreme triumph. The Lord proves us on dark and cloudy days like the one outside. Our vigor is revealed in the tempest. We are manifest by the very enemy who came to destroy us. The menace leads us more deeply into the treasures of grace. Our temptations unlock our resources. Our sorrows discover us, for us, consolations of everlasting life. And therefore, though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will know no fear. Encourage these, your children, the glory of Almighty God, the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Representative Foster, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that that prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, prayer will be spread across the journal, and thank you, Pastor Sherwood, for being here with us today. Speaking of the journal, Madam Clerk.
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 54th, 55th, and 56th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous days be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Without objection, journal for the 54th through the 56th day is certified and approved. Brings us to guests for introduction. Representative Holm.
Mr. Chairman, it's my great pleasure today to introduce a constituent, Lynn Burkett, in the Taylor Gallery. She's a board member with the National Association of Social Workers, and they're in town for their state board meeting. So please give her a warm welcome.
At ease.
I'll stand at ease. Let's please come back to order. Prior to the at ease, called by Representative Sissonnet, we were on our introduction of guests. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests, in the Warren A. Taylor Gallery is my former staffer and here with the National Association of Social Workers. And she's such a good former staffer, was such a good intern staffer, that she gave me a whole note with her name spelled out like I would forget it, and like her association and all that, just because she knows how forgetful we can be. Sarah Lewis in the Taylor Gallery.
There is life after working for Representative Croft. Representative Kapsner.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Also in the Warren A. Taylor Gallery from the community of Bethel,
along with the other board members with the National Association of Social Workers, is Diane McGachran. Please help me welcome her to Juneau.
Sam Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Because of my wife being a social worker, I have an occasion to know quite a few of the social workers. And I just happen to be lucky enough to have the executive director of the National Association of Social Workers in my district, and he's in the Warren Taylor Gallery. His name is Taylor Burns. Help me welcome him.
Representative Lynn.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure this morning to introduce the President-elect, Randy Megan, of the National Association of Social Workers, and he'll be in to visit with me this afternoon. Please welcome him.
Sam Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And it's my pleasure to introduce two ladies in the Horachevich Galley who you'd find working in my office, Danielle Brown and Melanie Brown, not sisters. Melanie is a UAF intern, and it's delightful to have her. Please join me in welcoming them.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Yes, sir. I've got three people from Nome. I'm real tickled that they came down here. Randy Romanesco is the longtime city manager for Nome. Also, Denise Michaels, my cousin, mayor of Nome, first lady mayor in Nome in its history of 106 years. And also my dear friend John Hanlon, former eight-term mayor of Nome and now in charge of our utilities. Please help me welcome them here to Juneau.
Representative Vlog.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Really a fine day for me. I have a couple very special friends. Actually very dear persons to me, who are in the Taylor Gallery. One traveled thousands of miles, and I'll have to poach from the new governor of California, is my mother-in-law, Amy Jeffrey. And then sitting next to her is my lovely wife, Sue Jeffrey. Would you please welcome them?
Let's briefly stand at ease. Let's come back to order on our introduction of guests, Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Horachevich Gallery behind me, it's my pleasure to introduce a constituent who hails from the place where the great District 32 dips its toes into the Prince William Sound, City of Whittier. We have Mr. Rick Holmbaum, who's the city manager with us today.
Further guests, seeing Representative Wyrock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Another board member of the National Association of Social Workers is here, Marianne Mills. She's the secretary. She's from my colleague from District 3's district, but I'm pleased to introduce Ms. Mills, if you could join me.
Further guests. Madam Clerk, messages from the governor.
Messages dated March 5th stating the governor has signed the following bills and has transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 56, Finance, Sport Fishing License Fees, Residents of Yukon, Canada, Chapter Number 4, SLA 2004, and CS for Senate Bill 183, State Affairs, Municipal Economic Development Taxation, Chapter Number 5, SLA 2004. There are no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other body?
Messages dated March 4th and 5th stating the Senate has passed the following and they're transmitted for consideration. Senate Joint Resolution 27 by Senators Seekins, Terrio, Wilkin, Ogun, Cowdery, Stedman, Dyson, Ben Stevens, and Wagner relating to the resolution of submerged land title disputes.
Resources?
CS for Senate Bill 190, State Affairs by the Senate State Affairs Committee entitled an act adding certain state-owned land and water to the Kenai River Special Management Area relating to the mineral estate of the state-owned land and water in the Kenai River Special Management Area relating to the Kenai River Special Management Area Advisory Board and providing for an effective date.
Regional Affairs and Resources.
CS for Senate Bill.
House of Senators. Come back to order. Madam Clerk.
CS for Senate Bill 203, Finance, amended by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Administrative Hearings.
Madam Clerk. Hearing. Remind the members that it's inappropriate to talk over the banister while we are not at ease. Madam Clerk.
An act relating to administrative hearings, to hearing officers, and to administrative law judges, establishing the Office of Administrative Hearings and relating to that office, and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill 295, by Senators Terrio, Dyson, Ogun, Caldery, Stedman, Wilkin, Green, Seekins, Wagner, Bundy, Ben Stevens, and Gary Stevens, entitled An Act Extending the Termination Date of the Navigable Waters Commission for Alaska and Providing for an Effective Date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill 299, by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, entitled An Act Relating to a Charge for a Bad Check.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
Senate Bill 305, by Senators Terrio, Dyson, Ogun, Stedman, Caldery, Bundy, Wilkin, Green, Seekins, and Wagner, entitled An Act Relating to State Ownership of Submerged Land Underlying Water That Was Navigable in the Time Alaska Achieved Statehood.
Resources and Finance.
There are no further messages from the other body.
And communications.
From the Department of Administration, Office of the Commissioner, the Monetary Terms of Agreement between the State and Public Employees, Local 71, dated March 4, 2004.
Let me refer to Finance.
Also received from the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Public Health, and Department of Education and Early Development, Division of Teaching and Learning Support, Alaska Youth Risk Behavior Study, 2003. And from the Department of Revenue, Division of Treasury, Annual Report on the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund. There are no further communications.
Report to standing committees.
The Labor and Commerce Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Billy Andrews, Gail Nemi as members of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, Dr. Clark Davis as a member of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Ms. Marianne Cerny and Dr. Arnie Pill as members of the Board of Dental Examiners, Mr. Randall Frank as a member of the Alaska Labor Relations Agency, Anthony Jocelyn, Board of Marine Pilots, Dr. Robert Breffel, Dr. Duddy, Dr. Bert Flaming, Dr. David Head, and Mr. Michael Tarianen as member of the State Medical Board, Dr. Mark Rickey as a member of the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives, Patricia Swenson as a member of the Board of Nursing, and Deborah English as a member of the Personnel Board, Cindy Bueller, Captain Givens, Michael Pauly as a member of the Board of Pharmacy, Ms. Irvine and Mr. Schaefer as a member of the Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers, Lawrence Bauer, Glenn Clary, Rita Stuckert as members of the Real Estate Commission, David Hunt as a member of the Board of Veterinary Examiners. The reports were signed by Representative Anderson, Chair, and Representatives Crawford, Lynn, Rokeberg, Dahlstrom, Guttenberg, and Gatto. And then the Labor and Commerce Committee also considered Mr. Robert Chastain as a member of the Board of Marine Pilots, and the report was signed by Representative Anderson, Chair, Representatives Crawford, Lynn, Gatto, Rokeberg, Dahlstrom, and Guttenberg. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 342, Increased DWI Penalties, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 342, Judiciary, with a new title, recommending do pass. Anderson, Gruenberg, and McGuire. No recommendation, Holm, Garris, Samuels, and Ogg. The report was signed by McGuire, Chair. Two indeterminate fiscal notes and 3-0 fiscal notes were attached. House Bill 342 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 422, Budget Reserve Fund Investment, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 422, State Affairs, with the new title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass Gruenberg, Seton, Holm, and Lynn. No recommendation, Wyrock. The report was signed by Wyrock Chair, House Bill 422, as a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 424, Regulation Review, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 424, Judiciary, with the new title, attaches a fiscal note, an indeterminate fiscal note, and a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Holmes, Samuels, Grunberg, Ogden, McGuire. No recommendation, Gara. The report was signed by McGuire Chair. House Bill 424 has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 471, increase the amount of base student allocation, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 471, Education, with the same title, attaches a letter of intent, recommending do pass Gatto, Seaton, Wolf, and Wilson. No recommendation, Cisna. Amend Coghill. The report was signed by Wilson Chair. House Bill 471 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Citations, resolutions for introduction?
A citation in memoriam, Mary Elizabeth Caesar, by Senator Elton and Representatives Fertula and Wyrock. There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Bills for introduction?
House Bill 532, by the House Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Amending the Definition of Lobbyist and the Regulation of Lobbying Act and Providing for an Effective Date, a letter and a zero fiscal note were attached.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 533, by the House State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the State's Administrative Procedures and to Judicial Oversight of Administrative Matters.
Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 534, by the House Rules Committee, by request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, entitled An Act Extending the Termination Date of the Office of Victims' Rights.
Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 535, by the House Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Relating to Liability for Expenses of Placement in Certain Mental Health Facilities, relating to the Mental Health Treatment Assistance Program and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Judiciary and Finance, with the letter attached by the Governor.
There are no further bills for introduction.
Brings us to consideration of daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill 344, by Representatives Spate, Foster, and Croft, entitled An Act Relating to Annual Rental Fees for Mining Claims and Providing for Reduced Royalties During the First 3 Years of Protection. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 344, Resources, with a new title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass Hines, Lynn, Stepovich, Wolf, Pertula, Masick, and Dahlstrom. No recommendation, Gatto and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Masick and Dahlstrom, co-chairs. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 344, Resources, with a new title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass Meyer, Croft, Moses, Fate, Foster, Harris, and Williams. No recommendation, Hawker, Stoltz, and Jewell. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. There's one committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent, excuse me, that the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 344 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Resources Committee substitute before us. Madam Clerk, are there amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 344, Resources, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the last time?
CS for House Bill 344, Resources, entitled An Act Relating to Annual Rental Fees, Statements of Annual Labor and Production Royalty for Mining Claims, and Providing a Cure for Abandonment.
Under debate, Representative Fate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All too often, we see a honest mistake being made when a small miner comes into the recording office late. For some reason, he's either held up or date confusion. These mistakes do occur sometimes because of oversights and because of true physical impediments. When that does happen, Mr. Speaker, that mining claim is considered by the state of Alaska as abandoned. He therefore loses not only his work, but sometimes must remove the physical mining equipment from that piece of property. This bill corrects that oversight and simply allows an extension of time for that miner to have redress and for the mistake to be corrected so that he does not lose that and so that the claim isn't abandoned. That he must pay, however, a fine for having been late, which is equal to 1 year's rent. It still does not absolve him from paying the other rental fees and royalties, including filing the affidavit of labor for which he was late in the first place. One more attempt, Mr. Speaker, to simply encourage the small miner in the mining industry, which has always taken a beating here in the last several years, encourage them to stay in the game and encourage them to be a part of the economy that has been such a historic part of our past. I hope that you will join me in voting for this measure. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fate. Further debate? Ready for the question? The question before the body. It's passed as committee substitute for House Bill 344, Resources. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Anyone wish to change your vote? Madam Clerk.
35 yeas, 0 nays.
So the House has passed committee substitute for House Bill 344, Resources. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on the calendar?
CS for Senate Bill 63, State Affairs, by the Senate State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Transition Provisions Related to Municipal Mergers, Consolidations, Dissolutions, Reclassifications, Annexations, Detachments, and Incorporations, and Relating to Municipal Property Taxation in Annexed, Detached, and Newly Incorporated Areas. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 63, CNRA, with the new title and entitled Resolution Authorization, HCR 33. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Representative Anderson, or do pass Representative Anderson and Samuels. No recommendation, Wolf and Morgan. The report was signed by Morgan, Chair. There's one House Committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 63 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection. Madam Clerk.
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 63, Community and Regional Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the last time?
House CS for CS for Senate Bill 63, CNRA, entitled An Act Relating to Municipal Property Taxation in an Annexed, Detached, and Newly Incorporated Areas.
Under debate, Representative Seed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill basically cleans up a problem that we have in areas of when annexation or incorporations take place where you have overlapping service areas that have established budgets, and if that taxation does not occur, that transition of taxation does not occur at the time of which that budget is lapsing, then we have a problem of service areas that lose a part of their budget after they've made contracts and providing services. So this will help everyone know that under an annexation and incorporation, what the date will be in which the taxes will then go to the new area, and it allows everybody to plan effectively. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. There's further debate. Ready for the question? The question before the body is passing House Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 63, Community and Regional Affairs. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 63, Community and Regional Affairs. Madam Clerk. Take a brief piece. House, please come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Carl Moses, Representative Moses, be excused from call of the House. I understand that he was going to catch a plane today and will be back. But at this point, be excused from the call of the House until he returns, basically.
Without objection, Representative Moses will be shown as excused from the call of the House until he arrives back to the chamber. Without objection, I'd like to move Senate Bill 283 to the bottom of today's calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item?
House Concurrent Resolution 33 by the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 63, relating to municipal property taxation in annexed, detached, and newly incorporated areas. I have no amendments.
Representative Seaton? Mr. Joyland.
Mr. Speaker, just first. To comment, this is a resolution with regard to the title change of the bill that we just passed, which would have been CS for Senate Bill 63.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. I'm sure that's what Representative Seaton was going to say. Well, the question before the body is the passage of House Concurrent Resolution 33. Members may proceed to vote. Madam Clerk, lock the roll. Anyone wish to change the vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed House Concurrent Resolution 33, title change. This time, we are going to take a short recess. I would ask that the body and the members be fairly close to in the event that we can get underway quickly. So with that, we'll stand at recess. You'll hear the bells. House, please come back to order. Prior to the recess, we were somewhere on the calendar. Without objection, however, I'd like to move down the calendar to unfinished business. Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to waive House Bill 233 out of committee. I have a sheet signed by all committee members that agree with this. It has to do with the increased education funding.
Is there objection to waiving that bill out of committee? Seeing none, the bill is waived. Mr. Majority Leader.
Under unfinished business, Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Anderson be excused from the call of the House today until 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, March 9th.
Without objection, Representative Anderson will be shown as excused from the call of the House today. Without objection, I'd like to move up the calendar to reports of standing committees. Madam Clerk.
The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 123. Alaska Human Resource Investment Council recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 123 Finance with the new title attaches a zero fiscal note recommending do pass Moses, no recommendation Meyer, Hawker, Stoltz, Croft, Chenault, Harris, Williams, amend Foster. The report was signed by Harris and Williams co-chairs. House Bill 123 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 444, Direct Marketing Fisheries Business, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 444 Fish with the same title, recommending do pass Dahlstrom, do not pass Wolf, no recommendation Lynn, Guttenberg, amend Gatto, Stepovich, Masick was a no recommendation. The report was signed by Masick and Dahlstrom, co-chairs. House Bill 444 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 478, Commercial Fishing Interim Use Permits, recommending do pass Lynn, Gatto, Stepovich, Dahlstrom, and Masick. No recommendation, Wolf and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Dahlstrom and Masick, co-chairs. House Bill 478 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 516, Bad Check Charge, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 516, State Affairs, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Gruenberg, Seton, Holm, Lynn, Coghill, and Wyrock. The report was signed by Wyrock Chair. House Bill 516 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Resources Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 26, Resources, Salmon Enhancement in Wilderness Areas, recommending do pass Lynn, Gatto, Stepovich, Wolf, Masick, and Dahlstrom, do not pass Guttenberg. The report was signed by Masick and Dahlstrom, co-chairs. CSSJR 26, Resources is on today's supplemental calendar. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Clerk, is that all of them?
Pardon me?
Is that all the standing committee reports?
Yes, that's all the standing committee.
You don't have House Bill 514? That objection, we'll back down to the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on the calendar?
CS for Senate Bill 283 Finance by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Making an Appropriation to Reverse the Deposit of Money Available for Appropriation in the General Fund at the End of Fiscal Year 2003 into the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, making an appropriation for investment management fees for the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, making appropriations under Article 9, Section 17C, Constitution of the State of Alaska from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund, and providing for an effective date. The bill's in third reading.
Mr. Minority Leader?
Don't you want to go back to...
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we go back to second reading for the purpose of the specific amendment.
Without objection?
That being amendment number 10, I move amendment 10.
And it's my understanding the previous amendments
will not be offered
being withdrawn. So without objection, amendments 5 through 9.
Mr. Speaker, before withdrawn. I do wish to speak very briefly on this, but perhaps one of the co-chairs or one of the ranking minority members would like to speak to the substance of the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Leader. Please come back to order. Is there debate on amendment number 10? Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll explain part of the amendment. Let the minority member explain the rest. Mr. Speaker, this amendment deals with the 2004 and 2005 reverse sweep, as well as the CBR appropriations. Or the amendment actually doesn't deal with the 04 reverse sweep. It only deals with the 05 reverse sweep. Also deals with appropriations to the education K through 12 in the university, and also deals with power cost equalization and grants to municipalities, unincorporated communities, and such. Just briefly, Mr. Speaker, as it is a fairly complicated and fairly extensive bill, the amendment calls for $754,613,200 from the general fund to K through 12 education. It out of the general fund, it calls for $649,322,300 out of the general fund to the University of Alaska. Out of the Constitutional Budget Reserve, it calls for the per student allocation to be to $4,588 per student. That's subject, obviously, to the three-quarter vote of both bodies. Mr. Speaker, it also deals with the CBR authorization technicalities in another section. Deals with the reverse sweep in the fiscal year 04 budget. Reverse sweep meaning the technicality of the CBR draw and what the Constitution requires to have funds swept by. It also includes money, $125,000 for in the 05 budget for investment management fees for the CBR. It has out of the CBR, $4.4 million is appropriated to the power cost equalization program. It then deals with $84,500,000 extra money from the Constitutional Budget Reserve to the Department of Education for K through 12 funding. It gives an additional $15,800,000 to the University of Alaska. It gives $1,821,100 to the Alaska court system for the judicial retirement system. Mr. Speaker, it also gives, actually from line 4E, I'll let the minority leader or the finance person from minority speak to those. Let's see. It also gives out of the power cost equalization endowment fund $11,369,441.16. Make sure we didn't miss that. For PCE. And it deals with then the technicalities of the budget reserve, the CBR, and then some effective dates. So, Speaker, that part there is a little bit more, and
Somebody else will explain that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Harris. Further debate? Amendment number 10. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. What this amendment says beyond the language is that when we work together, we can move ahead. And there's something very significant about that simple statement. Negotiations to get us to this point weren't always easy, but they are always engaged with a feeling of mutual respect and a willingness to listen to one another. And that's how public discussion should occur. I think that offers, I hope, an inspiration to others who share this building with us and who share the public's trust and responsibility. Mr. Speaker, you know that with this amendment, the minority sets down its CBR shield. We are laying down the one tool we have available that gives us some comfort that we can protect the constituencies we feel that are most vulnerable. There's great risk in that. But we lay it down knowing that we can turn to our friends in the House majority to help protect those constituencies, to help make sure that the operating budget and the capital budget are fair, that they don't discriminate amongst different Alaskans based on region, based on who the representatives might be, based on their political affiliation, based on their class. We're turning to you as we set down our CBR shield and saying you have to help us uphold that responsibility. Each and every one of you in the majority has to help us because we're placing our trust in you, because we feel that's the best way we can fulfill our responsibility under the Constitution to serve all of the people of Alaska. That's an obligation that we all have in this body, is to serve all the people. And as we wrestle with the difficult issues that are inherent in any budget, operating, or capital, please, I'm pleading with you now, as someone who is putting down his CBR shield, that responsibility that I have as a minority leader, I now share with all of you in the majority. You know, Mr. Speaker, there's a lot more at stake this year than just what's in this bill. This bill is fundamentally about education. We in the minority would like to go further than we did in this bill, but we feel this is an important step, a large step, towards putting us on the path of an educational funding program that will serve all Alaskans. But beyond just taking care of the educational needs of Alaskans across the state, we feel it's important to show that we can work together, because there are other issues out there that we're going to need to wrestle with, issues related to funding the state's budget in its entirety. I think it would have been a huge mistake to do, as others in this building have done, which is to treat the budget as a weapon, to treat the constitutional budget reserve as a weapon, to treat education as a weapon. Because when people look at us, they don't say, what are the Democrats or what are the Republicans doing to attack one another? They say, what is government doing to help Alaska? And it is time, it is past time, for us to put aside petty partisan differences, petty personal difficulties. And remember that we're here to serve the public. And I'm hoping that we can show by our example others in this building that there is a better way to proceed than the course that they've chosen, that there are ways that we can enhance trust between different members of different political parties from different regions of the state, that we can start to treat each other with a great deal more respect than has been evident over the course of time that I've served here. And I'm proud that I serve in the House. I've always been proud that I serve in the House. I never want to serve anywhere else. And for those of you who do, well, I can only offer my condolences. Something seems to happen when you make that migration. But we can take some measure of pride tonight that we're doing the right thing for the people. We're going to have our differences over time. We're going to have our difficulties. But I'm asking you, as I put down my CBR shield, help us fulfill our responsibility to all Alaskans. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the efforts that you took in making sure that the House is the place where change began.
Mr. Norrleader, further debate? Amendment number 10. Representative Lynn.
Mr. Speaker, I would request that I be shown as a co-sponsor on this bill. I think it's a good start, and I'd like to thank my colleagues in the House who helped put it together, particularly the leadership in both parties.
Representative Lynn, did you mean the bill or did you mean the amendment?
I meant the amendment. I beg your pardon.
Representative Lynn, is there further discussion on amendment number 10? Ready for the question. Question for the body is the adoption of amendment number 10. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Clerk, announce the vote.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so amendment number 10 is passed the House. Brings us back to third reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Maybe I should have a brief at ease.
I'll stand at ease. House, come back to order. Is there debate on Committee Substitute Senate Bill 283, Finance, amended House? Representative Croft.
Yeah, this time I really mean it when I say I didn't mean to rise for this bill. Most people say that and they really don't mean it, in my opinion. But my chairman from Finance told me I should and say how good it is. So very briefly, this started this bill as an olive branch, as a good faith gesture, put in at the same time by one of our members on the Finance Committee and the other body, and myself, both put it in to say, here's the reverse sweep. We didn't intend these effects from the things that happened at the end of last session to carry on to things like the Marine Highway Fund and others. And we wanted this olive branch, this good faith gesture, to start negotiations, and they have done that. It's happened with the Senate vehicle, but they've done that. They've done that in this body that I'm proud to serve on. Let me just briefly highlight, and the co-chair of finance from Valdez has already highlighted some of the things this does. Essentially, this year we're separating the operating budget into two components. We haven't done it. There's no reason you couldn't in the past, but we haven't typically. This is the education operating budget we have before us. This is us declaring early and I think appropriately for our schools the level of support so that they can know what's coming. And it's good news this year. Through many years, I think, where it's either been difficult for them, level or stagnant funding, and where inflation has taken its toll, this year, early, in a bipartisan manner, we're offering help. We're giving the base funding for the schools and the university, but more importantly, we're adding significant increments, some of the most significant that I've seen in my time here. The number that we're adding to education this year is $84.5 million. The reason for that number, the other body had proposed about an $82 million. Many of us had been talking about an $87 million. And in the time-honored tradition of compromise, it's simply half the difference between the two. It is the difference between the two. That amounts to a raise in the foundation formula up to the level of $4,588, and we'll see that legislation soon. This has helped for the university, not only giving it its base funding early so they know what to do, they know what classes they can plan, but giving a significant increment. The university regents and their president had asked for $10 million to keep going to make up for the inflation and also to keep the momentum that they've been able to keep going. And they also asked for some help on the PERS-TERS situation. We're doing that. It is not the full funding. 10.6 plus 7.2 is about 17.8, but it's a significant full. It allows them to do the kinds of things that we hope they can do in that university. And it takes some of those, and it takes PCE from where we normally would do it in the operating budget and does it. It doesn't increase the amount, but it does it ahead of time, and that's sort of a trust-building gesture. About $10 million in capital, but the most significant of which are some help for Shishmaref in building an erosion wall there where literally a city is falling into the sea. $1.35 million for the Tananaw Valley Community College and their efforts to renovate the old Fairbanks Courthouse and put some of the good work that community colleges do to work there. Just over $700,000 in fixing the roofs in the Dillingham schools that have literally a blue tarp over them and have had for years. Children trying to learn with a roof that's a blue tarp. And $1 million for the Learning Center, an exciting collaborative opportunity there in Bethel. And about $750,000 to meet some of the critical Anchorage projects, not enumerated, but with some flexibility to do. Those appropriations, the big ones, total about three-quarters of this $10 million. And then there's a variety of smaller ones making up the smaller portion of it. But as the minority leader said, I think the most significant thing about this is not the numbers, though they'll be a welcome relief for the university and for our students and teachers in K through 12. But the fact that Alaskans can see their government acting in the way they'd like it to act, solving problems through a cooperative process, getting to results that everybody knows you need to get to, and functioning as they expect their elected representatives to function. So I'd like to thank you, Mr. Speaker, the co-chairs of finance that I work with, and really this body. It's been my pleasure to be here for the last 8 years. This has been our tradition. We've stepped away from it occasionally, but usually we come back to try and figure out what should be done, setting aside the differences and getting it done. So I'm proud to be a member today.
Thank you, Representative Croft. Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm a little disappointed. I was looking forward to the education budget coming before this body when we took up the budget, because when we passed the education budget out of our subcommittee, we raised it by $8 million, Mr. Speaker, and I thought that was pretty good, and I was looking forward to bragging about that. However, when we did kick the education budget out of our finance subcommittee, we knew that that was just the first step, the $8 million, and we knew there was another major step that needed to be taken. And Mr. Speaker, this is that major step. This is the step that needs to be taken. And let me just give you a few examples. And again, it's just easier for me to relate to Anchorage because I'm most familiar with Anchorage. You all can figure out your own districts. I know I was working with the member from Kenai, and it works out for his district too. But Anchorage receives about 33% of the total education funding. So if you take 33% of $84 million, that's approximately $27 million. And Mr. Speaker, that is the deficit that we have in the Anchorage School District, $26.5 million to be exact. So this more than covers the deficit that we have in Anchorage. And that includes the PERS and TERS. So this is the right amount. And what's good about this is that we're doing this now. There's 167 teachers that are going to be receiving their pink slips next week. Hopefully, if the other body can react as quickly as we have, maybe those 167 teachers won't receive that pink slip, and they can focus on teaching and not be stressed and worried about whether or not they're going to have a job. There's no reason not to do this now. There's no reason to wait 2 months and put these teachers through that torture. And Mr. Speaker, Friday night, we heard testimony from Fairbanks, again, on the operating budget, and we took 2.5 hours of testimony, and overwhelmingly, 90%, other people testified in favor of more money for K through 12 or for the university. Again, Mr. Speaker, this amendment takes care of the university, the $10 million that the additional money they wanted and the $5 million for their person terms. So again, I do believe this is the right amount. The only negatives I've heard, Mr. Speaker, and I hate to bring up negatives, is that, well, we hate dipping into the savings, or CBR, to pay for this. But as you know, Mr. Speaker, for the last 10 years, we've used the combination of our CBR and our checking account. Our checking account, of course, being the oil money. 85% of our checking account is oil money, and that's been declining for the past 10 years. So the only difference is that we're doing this now instead of May 12th. And again, this is the right time to be doing this. Now, we are, granted, we shouldn't be dipping into our savings account, but by taking action on this now, we can focus on another source of revenue. So again, the timing is right. And again, our teachers can go back to work and not have to worry about whether they're going to be laid off or not, and can focus their energy on teaching our kids.
The only other argument I've heard, or negative comment, was, well, this is just a one-time fix. Mr. Speaker, as the speaker before me mentioned, we do have legislation before us that we're going to take up later tonight that will put this into the formula. So this isn't going to be a one-time fix. This is now raising the formula level up to 4,588 from 4,010, or about $410 per student. This is a major jump. And once it's in the formula, it's in there long term. So this isn't just a one-time fix. Again, I want to thank the leadership on both sides, minority and majority, for making my job easy as the education budget chairman. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Meyer. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to point what's happening today out as an example of a committee process that worked. We delegate to our specialized committees issues that they have to focus on. And I would like to say, of the seven members on the House Education Subcommittee, we all sat down, the members from both parties, after we listened to testimony from school districts for days. And we had to ask ourselves the question, do the seven of us push for an amount that we think we can get, or do we push for an amount that we think is right? And unanimously, across party lines, we decided to push for the amount that we thought was right. Because we heard from the Kodiak School District that they were facing terrible losses next year, and they had already laid off seven teachers last year. We heard from the Kenai Peninsula School District that they were facing terrible job cuts this year after already laying off 10% of their teachers last year. We heard that kind of testimony from around the state. And I think that the seven in the Education Committee, and then really, truthfully, the 53 of us everywhere else in this building, ended up building up a synergy by deciding that we were going to push what we felt was right rather than what we thought was achievable. And I think it was a good process, and I think it was a good result. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Guerra. Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for your leadership on this this last week. It's been very difficult for us, as you know. Thank you for that. This is the first time in my 12 years that we've been here, you know, to take care of a lot of the issues that we've been having to be forced to take care of on the last day of the last hour. This helps us. This will make it a lot easier for us to take care of a lot of the issues that are before us. And it'll also help us take care of the big picture. The people are out there are looking at who's going to take care of the fiscal gap, who's going to take care of, and I know I'm way off base here, but, but I think...
As long as you know.
The minority leader usually looks at me and just shakes his head or glares at me, so, but he didn't this time. But I think this is something that this proves to the people out there in TV land that when we work together, we can find a solution. And this is partially a one-time solution. This isn't the long-term fiscal plan, but it proves to the people out there that when we put our heads together, we can find a way out. Next week, we're going to be talking about the long-term fiscal plan, and we're going to all be talking to each other instead of talking at each other. We'll be able to focus and fix, hopefully, what's before us. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Representative Weirach.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. I appreciate the opportunity to pass this piece of legislation and deal with teachers around the state that were forced to face the inevitable pink slip if we didn't pass this. I'd like to thank the body for working with me and the member from House District 3 to keep one school open for 1 year where every single teacher received pink slips, and they still have those pink slips in the Alyeska Central School, and they won't be coming back to work. I lost every single teacher in this district. And when teachers start to feel that pink slip and see that pink slip around the state, we can work together and save those jobs. I'm happy to do that, but we'll never see those jobs in my district again. I want to work to save districts and around this state, because that's what this state's about, working together to save jobs for people that teach kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Weirach. Representative Gatto.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to say thank you to everyone here, and especially the members on the Education Committee, who through last year and this year really worked very hard to make some very significant changes. I mean, last year we did something that hadn't been done in a while that had been asked of us, and that is we rolled the logs into the formula. We gave a small bump of about $30. We took care of student transportation and prevented a cut. But this year we did much more. And I think there's maybe one person who, if he were alive today, would be very happy. And so I want to talk about an individual who would be 100 years old in a few days today. And that person was very, very much involved in education, especially of the youngest children, and wrote several books that I think we all read. And one of them is Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham. And so this individual, who we all know as Dr. Seuss, even though he wasn't a doctor, and Seuss was really just his mother's maiden name, would, I think, at this point maybe applaud us for the work we do. And so on behalf of him, I would certainly like to thank all of you who have come together as a group and thought about the children in our state. They're our children and they're our future. And they'll be sitting here in this position someday, doing what we're doing today. And they'll be sitting in those jobs building the pipeline, and they'll be sitting in the office buildings, and they'll be sitting in all the places where we have come from and where we sit today. And so to take care of that special need, Mr. Speaker, is the thing that I think really elevates us to the level where we can be very proud of each other. And so I want to thank you all.
Thank you, Representative Gatto. Representative Lynn.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. As a former public school teacher, in fact, a retired public school teacher, I just feel compelled to make a comment. As I said earlier on the amendment, this is a very good tribute to the leadership of both a minority and a majority, and I believe when all of us push the green button over here, it's going to be a tribute to all of us. But I've got to tell you that money alone is not the total answer to a good education. This is a good bill tonight. This will help give teachers the basics they need to do their job with some kind of a reasonable salary. But good education is more than writing a check. Good education begins at home with parents. Teachers teach students the very vital lessons of life. Somewhere in this country, perhaps in Alaska, perhaps in Juneau or Anchorage, some teacher is teaching a future president of the United States, teaching a future governor of Alaska, perhaps teaching somebody who's going to be a legislator in this body at some future date. Most importantly, perhaps, some teacher someplace, is lots of places, are teaching future parents who will help educate their children. Teachers, again, deserve not only more money, but they do deserve smaller classrooms, reasonable salary, and all these things, but they deserve the respect from all of us. And the money we give is essential, but respect is something that money cannot buy.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand here. I'm just so excited. I can't stop grinning. This is just wonderful. Education, we have found and we've heard loud and clear all across the state how parents and teachers and school boards and moms and dads, just everybody pulled together saying what dire straits schools were in. They were seeing cuts in programs, cuts in teachers, looking at the possibility of larger classroom sizes and all kinds of programs. So I guess we've heard that we've heard someone say that we have made this is a significant change. This is significant, Mr. Speaker. This is so significant that I'm saying it's a miracle. This is wonderful. $84.5 million for education for K-12. That's $417 more per student, and each of the schools out there, that the parents that are watching, the administrators, the teachers, they can count that up real quickly in their schools and see what that's going to make a difference in their schools right now. And I'm sure there's people just jumping for joy on this. What does this really mean? This means that the pink slips aren't going to go out. It means that teachers won't be laid off. It means that school boards can sit back and take a huge sigh of relief. It's going to make a difference with the PERS and TERS. There's been such agonization over how are we going to provide the funds for this. This is definitely significant, and the timing right now is this is a first. This is a first that this body has ever done, and this is something that schools need every year at this time, because March 15th is when they have to start sending out those pink slips for tenured teachers, and we have got schools that are down to nothing but tenured teachers. Wrangell Schools, 2 years ago, had to lay off 27% of their teachers at that time. So the timing is right. We're going to make this happen by March 15th. I'm excited, and I'm really excited because we're doing the right thing. We're doing the right thing for kids. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Wilson. Representative Ogg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm really honored today to be a member of this body. It's a turning point. It's one that, as a regent, I had struggled for during the dark days of the 90s to bring back the importance of education to our youth, to our children in this state. That's the first place that we need to put our energies. We need to ensure the next generation is adequately equipped to lead the state, to live healthy and good economic lives. And without the education, they're unable to do that. It's just a real honor. And I think we've turned the corner here from meism that we've lived for a long time in this state, and we're turning the corner to what can I do? And I think being a part of this body makes me feel quite honored that we have said and worked together. This is what we can do for our children and our youths to ensure that they're well educated. And I think it's the first step in saying yes to Alaska's future. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Representative Ogg.
It's kind of refreshing. Normally, when people get up and speak, we're kind of a house divided, and when we know we don't have the votes in the minority, we get up and talk. So this is a nice change to have it's been a while since we've had a good kumbaya. This is the art of the possible. That's what happened here. But it really puts us in a position where we're raising the bar of the work that we have yet to do. Because is this enough for our school? As years come on, there's going to be pressure on us. And so my message isn't necessarily to this body. But as we move forward in the next 70 days, we have some very tough decisions that we're going to be considering. Because we're going to have to pay for this year after year. We've made that commitment. Yay for us. That's a bold step. In the face what we all know to be looming out there in front of us with our fiscal challenge, and I think part of what we said tonight is just like the representative from Kodiak said, I think we're ready to rise to meet that challenge. And it's about time. There's going to be a lot of debate, a lot of hard work. And hopefully, in the end, more of something like this, where we've come together, we've put a package together, and we can say, yes, we may not like everything that's in here, but as a body, that's what we can come up with, and we've got to move forward.
Thank you, Representative Jewell. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, as the Majority Leader, I find myself in the minority. I think this is too much. Although I signed my name on the bill. But I just wanted to speak to the Minority Leader, who was part of the discussion. And maybe I got a little too weak at the wrong time and let this thing go up. spending in Alaska is going to be a discussion that we have to continue on, and I think this is one hurdle I think we have to get over. So I'm signing on, not paying lip service necessarily to the fact, but I just wanted people to know that this is not a willingness to run out and spend as much money as we can, though it's a lot more than I'd want. But it is a recognition of the needs in Alaska. There are some things both in the capital side of this, in the education side. I can tell you, in some ways, I feel like I have tire tracks down my back because it's just tough. I'm one of those that would like to rein in the growth of government, and this is a significant growth. But the needs are great. The teacher's retirement system and the public employees' retirement system that is embodied in this is a significant chunk of money that kind of got handed off to us partly by market dynamics. So in case anybody thought that there was people over here just waving this thing on, I wanted the discussion, and I worked hard to try to make sure that we have that discussion here in this house. And I think that even in that discussion, I was somewhat in the minority, trying to ride the brakes on letting this thing grow up too far. So understanding that the needs are great, I think the next hurdle after this is more significant yet. And so as the minority leader said, that this is laying down the shield of a three-quarter vote, it's a very high step for some of us to get up and step on that. So just remember, there are many of us in Alaska who have a little different thought of that on even funding of education, which today, as you can see, has become center stage. And so I have both economic and philosophic differences in some of our public education needs and some of our management style and even some of the ways we do it. Once again, even as the majority leader, I find myself in the minority on that. But I feel and I'm compelled to speak not only to the folks here, Mr. Speaker, but to those who are watching, that this was not something that was just a cave-in, but a real willingness to work with what I think is a good cross-section of Alaska right here in this room. And so it was a tough thing to come to, is what I'm saying. So I'm going to support it and defend it with the idea that we have a couple other battles that, in my view, are even bigger than this one. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. Further discussion, Representative Petula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know the hour is late, and I'm going to be brief, but as a member of the negotiating team in the House, I just want to say that the Majority Leader is no pushover, but that he understands the need to negotiate and to talk to one another, and that as I sat here, I couldn't help but think that for one of the first times, I kind of feel like the days when his father and my father could work across partisan lines, and when it just didn't matter what party you were in Alaska, that what you did is looked at the issues. I have about 4 extra pounds on me from last week, so I can tell you that the going was rough. It feels like end of session already, and I'm looking forward to getting a lot more sleep. But as the minority leader was speaking about laying down the shield, I kept thinking about the CBR and about all of the maelstrom around it, all of the anxiety around it at the end of session, and about another thought out of the Bible about laying down your sword and turning it into a plowshare. So the way I feel about this is our plowshare for education, and it's a really good start. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cotula. Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, education, I've harped on education for my district, what kind of shape my district's been in for years. And I guess there's 2 words I'd like to say to all the members in here, especially the minority and the majority leaders that put this package together, and that'd be thank you. What this means for my district is simply, hopefully if this is passed by the 16th, that my district doesn't have to send out pink slips to 123 non-tenured teachers and 14 tenured teachers. That's the kind of effect that it has just on my small district. You know, after talking to my superintendent, they were elated at the at the numbers that we were talking about. While some may say it's not enough, and they might wish that we had more, her comments were, thank you, simply for trying to bring the education up to maybe where it should be, maybe not where some of us would like for it to be, but at least it keeps us from going backwards. I think we all realize that this is only a stopgap measure, and next year we're going to be fighting a battle again for more money for education, and with that, I'd just like to thank the body for all the hard work that they've done. Thank you.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As Vice Chairman of the Education Committee, I share the excitement in the body tonight. What I see is historic, the early funding of the education budget. I've only been here 2 years, but the experience that I've had in the community is that this hasn't happened before. And I'm really hopeful that we will take this experience and go forward with a different mechanism, with different techniques, but to look at early funding of our education budgets in the future. Thank you.
Representative Seaton. Representative Harris. And wrap up? Maybe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of notes. I also want to thank members of the minority and you, Mr. Speaker, and my co-chair and the rules chairman and the majority leader, as well as the other members of the minority who worked on this compromise. Mr. Speaker, with this bill, we basically will have passed almost half of the general fund budget of the state of Alaska. I think that's pretty significant when the people of the state are asking us about cutting the budget. They need to understand, and I think they will begin to, that almost half of the general funds that we spend go to education. The other half almost goes to health and social services. Not quite, but as you can see, between two different parts of the budget, most of our general funds go to. And I think most people in the state agree that they're probably well worth it. Mr. Speaker, I hope, and I really obviously have the job of putting together the rest of the budget after this. If this passes, it certainly, as the minority leader said, they throw down their shield of the CBR vote. But I have given them my promise that I will be fair and honest and work with the other members of the Finance Committee who are in the minority to try and put together a fair and balanced budget. Mr. Speaker, we have a fair amount of work to do in that regard, but we also have a fair amount of work to do in trying to develop a fiscal plan. We cannot continue to go along the lines that we're going today. With this amendment and with this bill, we will spend somewhere in the vicinity of, if the budget passes, somewhat along the lines what the governor submitted, $700 or $800 million out of the CBR, depending upon the price of oil. Certainly, it's high now, and let's hope it stays that way, but there's no guarantee of that, as we know. Along that lines, if we continue to go that, it doesn't take many more years, and we're not going to have a CBR left, and we are still going to have rising costs of education, health care, many other issues, including retirements and other things, as many of our Alaska state employees are getting older and are on the verge of retirement or eligible for that. So, Mr. Speaker, let's not forget, as we pass this piece of legislation tonight and send it over to the other body, that we have a responsibility to the people of the state of Alaska, not only to ourselves, but all the people of the state of Alaska who depend upon us, and much of the state, and has been for years, depends upon some level of government spending, that we have a fiscal plan and we all work together on that. That's part of the reason why I worked as hard as I did to try and get some kind of a compromise out of this, is so that we would also have a working relationship, a good working relationship, as we begin to look forward to a fiscal regime in the future. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Harris. Further debate. Seeing no further debate, the question before the body is the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 283 Finance, amended. House members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. You don't get the opportunity to change your vote, Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed committee substitute for Senate Bill 283 Finance, amended. House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 283 Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause in Section 8
Without objection, the roll call vote of the passage of the bill will be considered the roll call vote, the effective date clause in Section 8.
Again, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of a committee substitute for Senate Bill 283 Finance can be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause in Section 9.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the passage of the bill will be considered the roll call vote on the passage of the effective date clause in Section 9.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adopt the appropriations from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund under Article 9, Section 17C of the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
Is there a debate? Question before the House. Passage of the Constitutional Budget Reserve Appropriations, Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund under Article 9, Section 17C. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed the Constitutional Budget Reserve Appropriations out of Article 9, Section 17C of the Alaska State Constitution. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Concurrent Resolution 34 be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection?
This is the... goes with the bill that just previously passed. And Mr. Speaker, I guess this is a roll call vote, so I would move the amendment. I mean, move the resolution.
Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the last time?
House Concurrent Resolution 34 by the House Finance Committee suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 283. Making appropriations from the Budget Reserve Fund, Article 9, Section 17, Constitution of the State of Alaska, and other funds.
This is a title change vote for the previous bill. Is there a debate? Question before the body is passage of House Concurrent Resolution 34. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed House Concurrent Resolution 34. Brings us down to citations. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Objection. Citations on the calendar is approved. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the supplemental calendar.
Without objection, we have the first supplemental calendar before us. Clerk, please read the first item on today's supplemental agenda.
CS for House Bill 233 by Representatives Wilson, Anderson, McGuire, Wolf, and Dahlstrom, entitled An Act Relating to the Base Student Allocation Used in the Formula for State Funding of Public Education and Providing for an Effective Date. The House Special Committee on Education considered the bill, recommended it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 233 Education with the same title attached to fiscal note, recommending do pass Wilson, Ogg, Seaton, Wolf, Kapsner, and Gatto. The report was signed by Gatto Chair. The Health Education and Social Services Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 233 Education with the same title, recommending do pass Seaton, Wolf, and Gatto. No recommendation, Coghill, amend CISNA. The report was signed by Gatto, Vice Chair. The Finance Committee referral was waived. The House Rules Committee submitted an updated fiscal note. There's one committee substitute, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
They have a brief at ease.
I'll stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Prior to the brief at ease, we were dealing with House Bill 233, ready to advance it. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, to adopt the version, right. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Education Committee substitute for House Bill, the Education Committee substitute for House Bill 233 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Special Education Committee substitute before us in second reading. Madam Clerk, are there amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Wilson, Harris, Berkowitz, Krutula, Garrett, Croft, Williams, Massick, Foster, Meyer, Morgan, Samuels, and Seaton, beginning page one, line one.
Representative Wilson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
Without objection, amendment number one is adopted. That was pretty easy. Madam Clerk.
I have no further amendment.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 233 amended it be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, we have committee substitute for House Bill 233, education, before us in third reading. House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Under debate, Representative Wilson. Well, before that, Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 233, EDU, amended, entitled An Act Increasing the Base Student Allocation Used in the Formula for State Funding of Public Education and Providing for an Effective Date.
Now, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What we just did with this amendment is that we increased the student allocation by $417 a student. That is wonderful. And when this session first started, we all knew that what kind of trouble the schools were in. And a lot of us kind of just started to dream. But pretty soon, listening to more people and feeling how strong we felt about this, that dream kind of turned into a hope. And there was a lot of hard work that went on behind the scenes. And pretty soon, it's just really neat to see what happened because that hope turned into action. When we look at what we've done here, we've actually taken the guessing out of the budgeting process for schools. This is a first time ever event. It's an action that we've done for education. We've listened and we've acted. And we've done the right thing for kids and we've done it for the right reason. And I'm not going to say any more. We have done for education something that we've never done before, and that's giving them an actual outcome of what their budgets can be before they have to start turning in those pink slips. So anyway, I know that everyone's going to vote for this because this is the right thing to do, and I'm excited, and so I'm going to sit down.
Representative Wilson. Representative Kapsner.
Are you a mind reader, Mr. Speaker? I didn't even have to stand up. I guess you just saw the look on my face. I'm pleased with this bill. May I ask a question to either the sponsor or to anybody else? Is this the one that includes TERS and PERS? Yes, I'm getting an affirmative response here. Okay. I am very pleased with this bill. I agree with the former speaker. This is definitely the right way to go, and I'm hoping that I have a commitment from my colleagues that we will also work on the eroding floor issue. As many of you know, and some of you may not know, we've inherited a lot of things. We've some great permanent fund, a lot of great programs, but some are very difficult for those of us who came in 98, because in 97, with Senate Bill 36 and the rewrite of foundation formula, there was a premise that some school districts owed money. And to recoup the money that some people felt that some school districts owed the state, there were blanket formulas. For instance, bilingual education. Every school district in the state only receives 20% of their overall, 20% of their overall budget can go to bilingual ed. So if you have 90% of your students who are bilingual, in my district, 11% of the population cannot speak Yupik, and 10% cannot speak, no, excuse me, I reversed that. 11% can't speak English, and 10% can't speak Yupik. So we have a very large percentage of people who are bilingual, but we only get 20% bilingual ed money. The same is true for special needs. And I appreciate your indulgence in letting me go down this track, Mr. Speaker. What I'm trying to say is the TERS and PERS issue was a result of 9/11 and the stocks crashing, not that schools owed that money. And I think that it's important that we remember when we're allocating TERS and PERS monies to school districts, we remember that they shouldn't be penalized for something that we inherited, and that most of us came in after 96, and we should readdress this issue later on in the session, but I don't want to get into that tonight. I'm just wanting to put that on your radar, put a bug in your ear for later on down the session, and I appreciate all of your hard work and dedication to education and the students of Alaska.
Representative Kapsner, Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's on the same point. There is no doubt that this is a wonderful way to go, and that what this body has done has been a very smart and thoughtful thing. The representative from Homer, representative from Kodiak, myself, the others on the Education Committee, know that there's a flaw in what we did. All on balance, the way we did it is the right way to do it, but it leaves one need unmet, and I'd encourage the members, maybe of the majority party, to speak to the majority members of the Education Committee about this. The rural school districts, many of the rural school districts and other smaller school districts, actually have very little money left over after they pay their PERS TERS debts to then put into their schools. It's just the way the foundation formula works. And if you take those school districts that barely, if you take those school districts that didn't, I guess, get an equitable allocation just because of the way the foundation formula works, and add up all the money that they would need to have their PERS TERS obligations met as equally as the other school districts, it's probably an amount of about $2 million spread across about 20 school districts. And I hope maybe after speaking to the members of the Education Committee who you trust the most, the other members of this body might at some point during this legislative session consider making a correction so that even those smaller school districts have as much to be gleeful about as those of us from the larger districts. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Guerra, further debate? Ready for the question? Question for the body is the passage. Committee Substitute House Bill 233, Education, amended House. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Anyone wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk.
35 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed Committee Substitute House Bill 233, Education, amended House. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage Committee Substitute for House Bill 233, Education, amended, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, roll call vote on the passage of the bill will be considered the roll call vote on the passage of the effective date clause. Mr. Majority Leader.
My apologies to Representative Hawker, but I would move and ask unanimous consent that he be excused from the call of the House for the remainder of the day. He fell ill.
Without objection, Representative Hawker will be shown as excused for the remainder of the evening. House Sanities. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that Representative Hawker be shown as excused on that prior vote.
Without objection, Representative Hawker will be shown as excused on the prior vote, as it was an oversight. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item?
CS for Senate Joint Resolution 26, Resources, by the Senate Resources Committee, requesting the United States Department of the Interior and the United States Department of Justice to appeal the decision of the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit in the Wilderness Society versus United States Fish and Wildlife Service, and to seek an emergency stay of the decision pending an appeal of the decision. The Resources Committee considered the resolution recommending do pass Lynn, Gatto, Stepovich, Wolf, Masick, and Dahlstrom, do not pass Guttenberg. The report was signed by Masick and Dahlstrom co-chairs. There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 26, Resource, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the final time?
CS for Senate Joint Resolution 26, Resources, requesting the United States Department of the Interior and the United States Department of Justice to appeal the decision of the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit in the Wilderness Society versus United States Fish and Wildlife Service, and to seek an emergency stay of the decision pending an appeal of the decision.
Under debate, Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.